My name again is Bill Evans, and I'm going to speak on a similar system that we did in Mississippi to what we just heard from the previous speaker. Very wide row corn performance in a Mississippi trial year two. So we talked a little bit ago about solar quarter and wide row corn. And in this system, we do a very wide row system. In our case, we're at 78 inches between twin rows. And taking advantage of lateral light and opportunities for a second crop in the corridor or the floor crop. And as was just discussed a second ago, across that floor crop may or may not be a cash crop. In intercropping, we think of two cash crops in the corridor. It could be a nurse crop. It could be a weed control crop. It could be a cash crop. It just has to be complementary to the corn, which for these corridor studies is the main crop. We try and keep the seeding rate and the plant population close to that of the narrow row spacing so that you don't have a yield hit on that. Again, it was developed based on field corn, but other crops could work just as well. And we think that it could increase resource use efficiency, as was just discussed in the last presentation, and especially the light interception by the corn crop. So our objective in this study was to determine the influence of extra wide row spacing on corn yield performance in Mississippi. And I have a very we had a randomized complete block design with a 3x2 factorial arrangement of cultivars and spacing. So three cultivars and two spacings. Traditional 38-inch spacing, and I said 78 a minute ago, 76 was the wide row spacing. Four replicates, and the rows were 13.7 meters long, which is 30 feet. The local standard, 38 inches, or 1 meter basically, just under 1 meter between the rows. We had eight rows per plot. We had to have that wider plot because when we do the twin rows, we wind up with four twin rows in that eight-row area. And then you want to harvest from the middle two of those four so you don't have an edge effect from the single rows or double rows next year. So we ended up having to have eight-row plots. So fairly large plots to get the data well. And in both cases, the effective seeding rate per hectare was 80,000. We had three cultivars. All of these were from the Augusta that you heard about in the last talk, A556. 6866, which we saw in the last presentation, and 7664. All these were based, the P and K was applied based on the local soil tests, and we had 70 kilograms of pre-nitrogen applied and 70 at the sixth leaf stage. This was non-irrigated dryland corn on a silt loam, and we used standard weed and pest control practices, including aggressive worm control, because these were not these were neither BT nor glyphosate tolerant hybrids. They were hand harvested after the corn reached under 14% moisture. Ear counts, row counts, and kernel counts were made. Shelled and fresh weights were recorded, and the corn was dried at 65°C to a constant weight and reweighed to confirm the moisture levels. So, old-fashioned 100-year-old corn sheller, or 80-year-old corn sheller, and the operator, so let's see. So in the first year, we had grand challenges with weather. So the first year was really a bust on this. So this really is the first year of good data on this. We had excellent stands this year. We had timely rains, like the rest of the country did. You see the piles of corn all over the Midwest this year. We had excellent pest control this year, so we had little worm damage on the ears. There was a little bit. We had a dry patch in the middle of the season, and there was some evidence that some of the tips were a little dried out from a little lack of moisture. So here's the corn later in the season, and you can see the single rows on the upper box there. So the single rows here. Notice our deer control device right there. And then the corridor section here. Reasonable, you know, fairly good weed control. When you get in the plots, there's not many weeds in here, but you see it was dry by the end of the season. And this gives you an idea of the different spacing and the different density of the plants. There's two twin rows there. They're about a foot apart, and then there's 78 inches or about 2 meters between the two rows, between the two rows on that twin there. So what did we find? I'll show you slides of the significant data, and then I'll show you a list of the insignificant data, and then we'll have some discussion, plenty of room for discussion at the end of this. So ear length, there was no difference between the between the spacings on ear length, but the cultivars did significantly differ in ear length. Same with kernels per row. One of them produced a few more kernels per row. This again, we're looking at that flex that was discussed in the last issue, or the last presentation, where she's trying to see if the habit of the plant and the ears change a little bit with the system, because that Dr. Dykman or Mr. Dykman has said is critical to this. We did not have any effect of cultivar on yield. They all yield about the same. And these yields are off by about a factor of two, by the way. I had a conversion issue when I made the slide. So that's really about 7.1 on the first, and then about 6.5 on the wide is actual megagrams per hectare on this. So highly significant difference, and that's a 12. When you do the calculation, that's about a 12% hit on yield, and this is different than what we saw in the last presentation, where they showed they were able to provide some increase. Remember, though, we did not have a floor crop on this. We had no floor crop, so that could be a possible difference. We also had a slightly different soil, and I think we had less moisture than they did toward the latter part of the season when the final grain filling was occurring and things. So those could all be factors. But the slide makes the graphic on the slide makes it look like a much bigger quote unquote hit than it is, in that it's only a 10 or 12% hit. And of course, I'm only dealing with three cultivars, and they had several more than that on the previous presentation. So there were no significant interactions between the cultivar and spacing for the three cultivars that I tried, for any of the measurements that I measured. The cultivars did not differ in ear counts, which is a question of the flex. And in the width of the ear, we measured the width of the ear to get an idea of kernel size. And the number of rows produced, which is genetically predetermined pretty much, were the number of secondary ears, which is another critical thing they're wondering about in the solar corridor systems. Row spacing did not alter the number of ears, the length or width, the number of rows, or the kernels per ear, or the number of secondary ears either. I say 15 on this slide. It's really about 12% was the yield cost for the twin row solar corridor system on this. Remember, of course, that I had total N of 140, and that might have been a little low. We had a lot more moisture than we normally do, and I think we got a lot of good growth and maybe some loss of nitrogen there. Normally, on our silt loam soil with the dry land, I would have gotten a really good maximized yield. So that's a possibility there that I didn't quite put enough nitrogen on. But is there a floor crop that could have improved this? Had we put southern peas in as they did in one, the Vigna, would the small amount of extra nitrogen that would have fixed, would some of that have become available? Maybe, maybe not. Would it have cooled the soil a little bit so it would be less soil respiration, again, driving more dry matter to the ears? I don't know. One of the big questions we have, and that's why the session is what it is today, where I'm happy to discuss it now or at the end, is these kinds of systems with these very wide rows, we've kind of thought that they really might have really good applications for smallholders and for tropical agriculture, where there they can put a fertilizer-producing crop like a legume in the middle, or they can put a relay or other type of true intercrop, as was asked by the lady in the front here. So those are great questions. Can we, for organic systems, can we use this to increase the ability to build soil health during the season as is required for certified organic systems? So Our hat project supported this. I want to thank Mr. Dykeman and his team for this, and my farm folks, Dr. McCoon and Mr. Hudson, and their crews at Brown Loam Station and the truck crop station, and my master's student, Sarah Reynolds, for helping on that. And that's all I have today. I'll have to answer a couple of questions. And
In the solar quarter crop, I noticed in the photograph you showed that there wasn't really any ground cover. It was basically bare soil. Is there a particular concern about enhanced erosion inside of the solar quarters? And if that was, would that not be a good indication for using a cover crop or some sort of other ground cover in that space?
That's a great question. The question is, in my study, unlike the previous study, we didn't have a floor crop, which on any soil with any erosive possibilities could lead to a significant erosion problem. So does that lead to the need for a cover crop? And am I kind of summarizing what you asked pretty much? Good. The because I'm relatively new into the system, and I wanted to first show that I could grow a crop of field corn at my vegetable crop station, I didn't go and complicate the issue with a floor crop at this point. So for 2015, we may. But the system is designed for that. This was more an assessment of, what is the possible yield hit, if there is one, or what is the possible benefit? And we have some nutrient data that we don't have worked out yet. We have SPAD data. Our SPAD data doesn't show the extra greening that they showed in the other study. So things like that are good questions. Thank you.
Would you use the lower seeding rate in the wine row system that might compensate for some of the economic
costs? You're saying if we used a... No, actually, the seeding rate on a per hectare basis and on a per row foot basis is actually identical in both systems in my study. It's about 80,000 kernels to the hectare, and we achieved that by just, instead of taking the rows at 38 inches or 1 meter, we moved the two twin rows together and seed at the same rate. And I'll give myself a little pat on the back. The crew was very impressed that I could plant a straight row with the tractor. So they were pretty impressed. Let me check the time here. I guess that's all I have time. I got to give the lectern up to the next speaker here.